good cheer. Grace, you'll be rewarded for your service here. So keep on. Oh, we're gonna keep on. Yes, you must fight. Be brave against all. Amen. You know, we get motivated, we get excited, we really, just when vacation time rolls around, we can't wait to get packed up and get ready to go. We've been somewhere 2 days, we can't wait to pack up and get back home. Oh, but listen, we're planning on going on a journey that, hey, there's no end to our trip. There's no end to our happiness. There's no end to your joy. All your pains, all your troubles going to be over with. Are you glad about it? Why don't you give him a good hand clap of praise in the house of the Lord tonight? Oh, somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Oh, why don't you shake hands with your neighbor? Tell him this. You're in for a treat tonight. We're fixing to have church. Praise the Lord. Oh, you must fight. Be brave against all evil. Never run or even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, keep on the fiery line. Yes, you must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run or even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Well, I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes tonight while we look at our prayer request. It's a tremendous opportunity to be back in the house of the Lord, isn't it? How many have enjoyed service here Wednesday night? Bitter waters, but it's going to be, not going to be that way forever. Is that right? Brad, good to see you tonight, buddy. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Sister Pinkston wants us to remember Brother Mike Pinkston tonight in prayer. He has apparently developed a pinched nerve in the base of his neck, which is causing pain and discomfort. He will see a doctor next week. Pray for a good outcome. So we certainly want to pray for Brother Mike that the Lord would be mindful of him tonight. Abe Dyke from Texas asks that we remember his family in prayer, going through a lot, needs God to move on their behalf. We know that God is more than able to meet the need, don't we? Amen. I want to pray for Brother Melvin Lynch. He fell last week and is in constant and severe pain in his back. So we certainly want to remember Brother Melvin, his back, suffering from back problems anyway. So let's pray for our brother tonight. Brother Jerry Glenn offers this testimony. He wants to praise the Lord. I am cancer free. I want to thank all the saints for their prayers. God is so awesome. Amen. Yes, he is. Praise the Lord. Just thank God for that good report tonight. The Clark Gray family from Cyprus, they're asking that we would help them pray for a financial miracle. The Lord knows all about the needs, just many various needs in that family. And they say they attend this service three times every week. Even though you've never seen our faces, we've seen all of yours. So they're from Cyprus, and they're asking that we would remember them in prayer. Somebody just say this: God bless the Clark Gray family. Could you do that for me tonight? God bless the Clark Gray family. Let's give them a nice hand tonight, if you will. Praise the Lord. Brother Joel Moyer says, please continue to remember my wife in prayer for healing. Also keep my family in prayer. We're headed to court on the 31st of May. Pray that this court case gets dismissed. No weapons formed against us shall prosper. Pray that our $2 will be returned to us immediately. They're asking that we would remember their needs tonight as we pray. Sister Phoebe Therese says, please pray for her brother Charlie Therese. He's in the hospital in a lot of pain. He's very sick, needs a touch from the Lord. So we want to remember brother Charlie tonight as we pray. This is came over from the library. Brother Keith Phillips wants to thank God and his guardian angels for protecting me him this past Thursday while mowing with a newly purchased riding mower near a bank. It went into reverse, causing it to pop a wheelie and flip backwards on Brother Keith, then roll on its side and shut off. By God's grace and protection, Brother Keith only suffered a scratch. To God be the glory. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Well, we're just serving a wonderful risen Savior tonight. That's the only way I can sum it up. He is risen. Do you believe that? Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Well, you must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run or even lag behind. If you would win, somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. We're just going to pray tonight over these requests. I'm sure you have an unspoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about. We're serving a wonderful God tonight. Brother Gene, come tonight. Lehman, Brother Gene Lehman, come tonight. Take us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of all these requests. We appreciate Brother Gene, don't we? Amen. Love you, buddy.
Still struggling with teeth. But that Lord knows that. Father, we want to praise you tonight, Lord, for the opportunity we have, Lord, to assemble once more. We want you to be feel present here tonight, God. We want you to come among us, Lord, in a way till when we leave, we can say, did not our hearts burn within us, Father? May we know, God, that when the word comes forth, that it'll stir us, pick us up, Lord, when we're down, when we don't feel like nothing, when we feel like that we're nothing, God. Make us feel like, Lord, that we belong to you, Lord. Lord, one time, Lord, they came to you and said, show us the Father. And you said, have I been so long with you that you don't know who I am? Well, Lord, I'm looking tonight at part of you out here tonight, Lord. Lord, because if you were that and we're a part of you, then part of us is you is here. Part of you, God, is here in each one of us, God, that is a part of you. So, God, we want to thank you tonight for that because we know that you're a divine healer tonight, God. And, Lord, I have requests in my hand tonight, God. I know you're a healer, Lord. I've seen you move. I've seen you make a way where there seemed to be no way, God. I've seen you come down, Lord, and make a path that there wasn't no way to make a path, God. One time, Lord, I remember my daughter got into some decon, Lord, when we was living in Illinois. And she was getting so sick, I put her in the car, was headed to the hospital. I had one intention, and that was get to the hospital. About almost got to the hospital, and a voice spoke to me and said, why don't you just lay hands on her? I turned around and stopped the car, and my wife said, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm going to pray for her. We laid hands on her, and she immediately got better. Lord, I know You're a healer. I've seen You heal so many times, God. I've seen You work when no man could work, God. I've seen You move when no man could even move. And God, yet You can hinder when no man can make a way in no word or no form, God. So tonight we're just leaving it all in Your hands. May You bless Brother David tonight. God, I pray that You'll stir him. And may our hearts be open, God, to the Word tonight, Father, I pray. Stir us, God, with the very presence of a holy God tonight, Father, we pray. And we honor You and praise You in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Brother King. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Ushers, come tonight. We'll receive the offering You give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here with us tonight, we do have some visitors in the service with us tonight. That's Brother David's got some folks here. Sister Siler got some of her family here. I don't know exactly who's here, but from Arkansas, but we're certainly, where would you be? Would you just raise your hand so we can see you tonight? Where would they be? Right back here. Give them a nice hand tonight. God bless you. Glad to have those folks with us. Wherever you're from, we certainly want to welcome you to the service, all those that are streaming tonight. We pray this service will be a great blessing to those folks as well. Well, what else can we say about the Lord but how great is our God? How great is our Lord Jesus Christ? When I think about the goodness of the Lord and where He's brought every one of us from, what a book, what a testimony, what a statement we could make as to where we were, what shape our life was in, where He's brought us to, and not just through with us now, but where He's taken us to. He's brought us a mighty long ways, but He's taken us out of this world. Are you glad about it tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Give Him one more hand clap of praise if you love Him. With all your heart.
Then sings my soul. sings my soul. Somebody say, yes, he is. Praise the Lord. Sister Cindy, Sister Anna, and everyone who's going to help them, if they'll get ready to come on the platform at this time, let's sing a little chorus just as they get ready to sing for us tonight. We'll go right on into the service. Brother David Siler is going to be speaking for us tonight and in the morning. And I know you're excited about getting to hear Brother David. He's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful brother in the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's sing the little chorus, I Would Not Be Denied. Let's don't let the devil cheat us out of anything good that God's got for us in this service tonight. He'll fill your mind with every bit of trash and every bit of worries and problems that he can think of. But you push beyond that. We're going to get something out of this service tonight. I would not be bless you. You can be seated. Give our singers a nice hand tonight as they get ready to sing for us.
And I get joy, joy, joy when I think about the Lord. When I'm standing in His presence, I say, give me more and more. I start screaming in my hands. It goes way down to my feet. I get joy, joy, joy all over me. Joy, joy, joy all over me. There's just something about the Lord. He is all over me. When I think about His goodness, I've got to take my liberty. Now this may seem confusing.
Unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter 1. We'll look at start with verse 1 this evening. Verses 1, 2, and 3. Then I want to bring you a statement that Brother Branham gives to us. Certainly a privilege to be in the house of the Lord this evening. And I don't have to go to church. I want to go to church. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Watch verse 3. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. But hey, that's not a lot of scripture. Well, it's enough. Amen. Let's just bow our hearts and ask the Lord to help us. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful. We're privileged to be able to come into this place tonight. And we're asking, Lord, that you would just come and anoint us with your word, and that, Lord, you would move amongst this congregation. Lord, take the things that we've studied and looked at, Father, and we ask that you would just come now and, Lord, make it real to us. And Lord, we ask that you would just move in this place tonight, that your word would become alive to our hearts, Lord. It would be more than just dead letter that lays upon the page, but Lord, we want it to be real. We want it to be a living word. We want it to be a living gospel. Lord, we don't want to just be religious and just come to church and be associated around church, but Lord, we want more than that. We want it to be a relationship with you. So we ask tonight that you would just take, Lord, and breathe into us once again. And may our hearts and our bedding grounds of our hearts be prepared, Lord, and cultivated to be able to receive what you have for us tonight. And Lord, we pray for every need that's in this place. Lord, we know by the preaching of the word that spirits can be cast out. Even bodies can be healed. We ask tonight, Lord, move for us, we pray, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you. You can have your seats for a few moments. I want to speak, if the Lord will help me, just for a little bit this evening, and then if we don't get done, we're not going to try to get done. We'll just pick it up in the morning and go on, so we can just break it up. It won't just wear you plumb out with it. But I want to just look at something that the Lord had laid on my heart when I was listening to something that Brother Ram said the other day when I was on a flight going into Europe. And something that Brother Ram says was tremendous to my mind and really stood out. And I'd like to speak of the Lord to help us on restoring order. Restoring order. Most of us probably understand what that means, but just to help our minds to get them going this direction just for a few minutes. When you talk about order, the definition of order is, it's a logical or comprehensible arrangement among separate elements of a group. It's a condition of methodical or prescribed arrangements among components, parts, such that proper functioning or appearance is achieved. It's a condition or state in general. The established system or social organization, a condition in which freedom from disorder or disruption is maintained through respect for established authority. It's a sequence or arrangement of successive things. With that in mind, greatest battle ever fought. And I thought of the order of the heavenly host, that not one of them is out of place. Everyone keeps its time perfectly. God's great army, I thought of the soldiers, how that if that moon would happen to get out of order, the earth would be covered again with water in just a few minutes. The earth would be just like it was when God decided to use it for to have us here on it. It was without form and void, darkness, and water was upon the breath of the earth. And if that moon would ever move, it would do the same thing again. And when the moon rocks a little bit away from the earth, the tides come up. And when it goes down, just follows the tides. See, it's God's great army. And when I thought that being God's great army there, now when we went to bed, and then I begin to think that not one of those can get out of their place. They all set in place. If there's moving anywhere of them, it's for a cause, and it will affect the earth. We just see the results of it now from some of them moving into their other spots. It's effective. It affects everything. And I thought then, if this great heavenly host like that has to keep its place to make everything in order, what about the disorder of the earthly host? When one gets out of order, how it throws the whole thing out of cater. The whole program of God is upset. When one member gets out of order, we should continually strive to keep the order of the Spirit. Understanding how that when God began to create in the beginning, and I've looked at this quite extensively, and how that when God began to create things, we understand that God doesn't just create to create, but everything God creates has a purpose. And I want to say this, as the prophet did in this greatest battle ever fought, everything has a position. And we know if it has a position, that why God would create it, that if God would have a purpose behind creating it, then everything that God creates has an effect upon this earth. And we know that whenever God began to create, there's something about creation. And as I'm amazed how that God is able to so organize things the way that He did. And that when God began to create there in the universe, we understand that God was creating in an order. Creation is absolutely in order. Now, I know we'll read in science today that it's disorder, but certainly we know more than that tonight, that our God is absolutely, He is a God of order. And we know that the prophet tells us in question and answers on Genesis that whenever God began to create in the beginning, that everything that God created, that God placed it or God positioned it in its place, that God ordained it in His mind to be able to be. Now, God's not just creating off the cuff, as we would say, and just creating and really don't understand how much He's going to create and just create and be creating. But I believe that God, everything that God created from His own being has a reflection of something that is here upon the earth. Now we know, before God does anything on earth, He declares it in the heavens first. And we know that when God would declare it up in the heavens, it's because there's something about the heavens that reflects here upon the earth that absolutely has something to do in my life. And then we know that the universe has a position, and not only does the universe have a position, but the universe has an order for its position. And when God was creating, we know that God was making something to be able to express part of His own being. He creates it to express part of His own characteristics, because the part of God that He is, being infinite, almighty, what He creates is only a further expression of who He is. And we know the first thing that God began to do in the beginning, Brother Ram said, and so many people has missed it, Trinitarians missed it, even folks around the message has missed it, is the first thing that God began to do is one simple word: God began to condescend. And to me, that is tremendous, that our God that fills all space and time has the ability to condescend down to a level that I can understand Him. Now, I may not be able to understand how that God done every bit of it, because I certainly don't. I don't understand how the astrophysicists can take and they can explain how this happened, this come into existence. I don't understand that. But I'm thankful that God explained it to me in the Kentucky language, that I'm able to understand in the simplest forms of the human language to be able to communicate. I'm glad God's revealed this message. That's so I can understand a little bit of it. Now, when God began to create, we understand that as most people today, we look upon the surface of what God created. And most people, they look up in the sky, they see the stars, and they see the Milky Way. They can see the moon because it's so bright. You can see the planet Jupiter because it's so bright. And we can see that, but yet it's just looking at the face of what God has done. That's a very small picture of really that what God has done. And Brother M said that this earth and the universe is actually a great timepiece. And it being a timepiece, it's set in a methodical order that God had placed each one exactly for it to be in line and in order to be able to keep the right kind of a time. Just like mechanical watches. I don't know how much you look at a mechanical watch. I was studying a little bit earlier this week. And some people, when they look at a mechanical watch, they only look at the face of the watch because they can tell you what time it is. Some of them has the date. Some of them has what month it is. And you're looking at the face of the watch to tell you what time it is. You can see the hour hand. You can see the minute hand. You can see the numbers. But that's just the face of the watch. But behind that face is an incredible system that makes up that mechanical watch. Within that system of order that has been placed together, you understand? That has been put together, each piece so particularly placed within that watch. And how? That it's more than just an hour hand. It's more than just a minute hand. It's more than just numbers or a date. But behind the face of that watch is wheels and cogs and springs and gears and oh my, how there's mainsprings and lever springs and all the different things that has been made to be able so that that watch can keep the proper time. And no doubt as God was able to put things in order in the heavens and man was able to pick up upon the order of the heavens and how that when the stars would begin to move that man was able to look into the heavens and see how that the time has been kept by the stars. It makes you wonder the first time they got the time right, whoever made the first watch. But behind it, it's more than just a face. And I want to say this, behind this world is more than just a sun. It's more than just a moon. It's more than just the stars that you can see. But behind it is a great creator, hallelujah, who is able to put everything in its proper place and position. And if God put that much time into the sun, if he put that much time into the moon, what about you and I, sons and daughters of God, who's called to believe this message? How are you not placed within this body? We know that God put every planet, God put every star in its proper position. Now, God didn't just create stars and broadcast or scatter those stars across the universe and whatever they fall, let the chips fall where they may. Well, that ain't the way God did it. God didn't allow the chips to fall where they may, but I'll tell you that God put every star, every piece in its proper position. I said he put the stars in their position. Oh, David says it like this in Psalms 147. Great is our Lord and great power. How many believes that? His understanding is infinite. My God's understanding, it's beyond human comprehension. It's beyond what man can even understand how great he is. And then David says in Psalms 147:4, he telleth the number of the stars and he calleth them all by their names. Now remember, the creation in the universe is only a reflection of the story of redemption. And he knows every star. That word star means Messiah, his brothers, progeny, offspring. Every offspring of every star, God knows their names. If God knows the name of Pleiades and the belt of Orion, if he knows all the stars' names, what about the earthly host? What about the stars, the seed genes of God who is put here? Does not God know what our name is? He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. The word telleth, oh, think about this. I thought, well, if God's going to tell, who's he going to tell? But the word telleth means to count, to number, to assign, to appoint. Look at the next word, prepare. It means to position or to place in order. So God placed in order the number of the stars. God appointed the number of the stars. Hallelujah. And he called every star that he appointed, every star that he placed, he called that star by their names. Amen. Now think about it. Let me show you, because you realize just because God did that proves you're not in this message by chance. You don't believe this Bible by chance. You're not religious by chance. You're not saved by chance. You're not filled with the Holy Ghost by chance. There's a purpose behind every star that God creates. Notice how Brother Brown brings creation in the pillar of fire 53. He said, let's take a little trip, a little space now, a mental vision, and go back 100 million years, not 6,000, 100 million years before there was even a star in the sky. And by your mind, it was God. He's always been God. And we're sitting and standing here watching creation come into existence. That's not, now notice, there's not a star, there's not nothing. And then notice, out yonder I see now all that space. And that all is God, without form, forever, or for eternities, no beginning and no ending. It's all God. Before there was even air, there was God. Hallelujah, somebody. Referring to spirit being, we understand he became actually God until there's something to worship him. But his being, to who he is, the fountain of love. Before there was oxygen, he was still our Lord. Before there was ever a star, he was still God. Amen. I said before there was sin, he was God. Before there was mistakes, he's God. Before there were shortcomings, he's God. Amen. Brother, whatever he was in the eternities, whatever he was then, he is still that same God tonight. Oh my, let's notice out yonder I see all that space, without form, forever, for eternities, no beginning, no ending. It's all God. Before there was even air, there was God. The very beginning of nature, creation was God. And the Bible teaches us that the Logos went out of God. Hallelujah. What a beautiful thought. He said, I might say, the God becoming his first body form. Hallelujah. If he's got a first, he's going to have a last. Because our God is not only is he Alpha, but our God is also the Omega. He is the first. He is the last. He is the beginning and he's the end. When the Logos went out of God, no one has seen the Father at any time, nowhere, never did or never will. But then the Logos that went out of him become a little halo light. Let's see it playing under like a child. Listen to this. Like a child before the doorstep of the Father. Sounds like a Pentecostal meeting to me. Brother, when the Holy Ghost falls and we go to acting up, we're like little children in the presence of God. We're playing like a child before the Father's door. Sounds like a good old-fashioned Pentecost Holy Ghost meeting to me. Hallelujah. I hear him say, oh, listen to this. Brother Ram said, like a child praying before the Father. I can see him as he moves over here and draws into his memory, his mind, a picture of what the world should be. There's not a star, nothing. I hear him say, let there be. Watch what happens. And an atom broke yonder. And when it did, the sun came into existence and began to whirl. She burned. Watch the time now. She burned for millions of years and millions of years. Not 6,000, millions on top of millions. And after a while, I see a clinker fall off of it. What is it? The first star that flew from the sun. He watches it fall for a few million years and then he stops it. Now, I can't add up all these zeros, but there's a bunch of them. And then another one flies off and he lets it fall a few million years and he stops it. What's he doing? Writing his first Bible. Now watch what God's doing. He lets it fall. Listen, it looks like it's chaos. It looks like it's, well, it's falling, brother. If it's falling, what's that mean? When we think of fall, we think of disorder. But just because it was falling doesn't mean that God wasn't in control of it. I'm going to say it again. Just because there was a fall doesn't mean that God ain't got everything in control. Just because it was falling and it looks like disorder and chaos does not mean that God don't know how to work this out. It doesn't mean that God don't know how to fix it. God knows what he's doing. Brother M tells us that an atom broke. Think about it. Scientists today, they break into God's laboratory. They have figured out how to take an atom and split an atom. Anybody like to give that a try tonight? Didn't think so. But when they do it, when science splits an atom, it causes disorder.
When science splits an atom, it causes an explosion. Amen. When man splits an atom, it causes disorder. When scientists do it, they make something to disrupt, which destroys, which interrupts the program, which annihilates. Come on, somebody. Explosion means disorder. Anytime man gets a hold of things, he messes it up. Oh, I'm looking at tomorrow, but I'm going to say anytime man gets his mind tangled up with what God's doing, he makes a mess out of it. He gets them believing in Trinity. He begins to believe in all kinds of wrong baptism. They worship stars. They worship moons. They worship suns. Whenever man gets behind it, it disrupts. But when God split an atom, he created. When God splits atoms, he brings into existence. When God splits atoms, he brings not only into existence, he brings it to his position. When man splits an atom, it causes chaos. It causes disorder. It absolutely takes things out of existence. Can I say it? When God gives us this message, it puts us into order. But you start believing in creeds and dogmas and man's ideas, it'll take you out of existence as though you never existed in the first place. Amen. But if you follow God's provided way, it'll take you and I to another dimension, back into the eternities where we came from to begin with. So God created planets, and the church said. He created stars, and the church said. My God created the moon. But how did he create them? By the spoken word. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but we must remember that the spoken word is the original seed. Amen, somebody. And God brought the cosmos, now not world cosmos after the fall, but the beginning universe, God brought the cosmos into existence by God's spoken word. God brought the universe into order by the spoken word. So it takes, glory, it takes the spoken word to bring order to the creation. Hallelujah. Without the spoken word, there is no order. It takes God's spoken word to bring position and placement to the universe. Hallelujah. The stars was brought into order by the spoken word. The moon, the sun was placed positionally in order by the spoken word. Now, if God is putting those things in order, Brother Ram said that God, now God don't write like we do sometimes. God writes by manifestation. He put the stars in their place, but you got to have the right optics to be able to know what the stars are saying. Amen. Now, a lot of people's read the stars, this first Bible, and they've got all kinds of ideas. But if you can ever get the right optics to be able to read the stars exactly where God put it, you won't be reading Matthew 28:19 and going out here and trying to baptize in some title. You understand that Matthew 28:19 has been revealed to you. You know what his name is. Hallelujah. Within this Bible that God wrote is God's redemptive story. Within creation, oh beautiful, within creation, redemption can be seen. Within creation, the Redeemer can be seen. Not only is redeemable people seen, but the Redeemer is revealed in what he redeems upon this earth. To think that God is veiling himself behind this mystery of redemption of the stars, behind the positioning of the stars, behind the positioning of the planet, is to think that God set the universe in order to express himself. That being said, a lot of people think that this happened by accident. I want you to think just about a couple of things with me, just to consider the universe. It's called the cosmos. By definition, it means the world or universe regarded as in a orderly, harmonious system. Now, this comes from their dictionaries, from great minds. They say cosmos, which is the world as we know it, universe. The world or the universe is regarded as an orderly, harmonious system. It's a complete, orderly, harmonious system in order and in harmony one with the other. So one person ain't, one star ain't fighting another star trying to take over its place. And the moon ain't trying to become, come on somebody. And the moon's not trying to become the sun. And the deacon's not trying to become the pastor. And the salt, come on somebody. They're not fighting for position. They have to be in harmony. They have to be in order. They got to be placed to know where they belong at in this great harmonious system that God has organized. It literally comes from the word cosmio, which means to put in order. Oh God, help me Lord. It means to make ready. It means to prepare, to adorn. I want to preach Revelation right now, but I cannot. It means to adorn or to embellish with honor. It's where we get the word that you and I know today, and more sisters would probably know it than men, but you come from the word cosmos, which derived the word cosmio, which means to prepare, which is where we get the English word cosmetics, which means to adorn. And it comes from this word of cosmos. It's an orderly, state, systematic, harmonious universe that God puts together, and He prepares it, He dresses it, and He adorns it exactly the way He wants it to be. Amen. Think about what God's doing. By the spoken word, God was creating and bringing order to the cosmos. He was bringing order to what He creates. Blowing things up never results in order. It's only disorder. Let me show you what some of the greatest minds on the planet has to say concerning this Big Bang theory. And I want to say this before I go any further. This is only a theory on this side of the grave. I'm going to say that one again. It's just too good to miss. It's only a theory on this side of the rapture. It's only a theory on this side of the body change. They got theories as long as they're alive. But brother, when they pass from this life, it is no longer a theory. Einstein said there's no life after death. The day Einstein died, it went from theory to fact. Hallelujah! It went from a theory of a great scientific mind to a fact. There is something that absolutely happens to you on the other side of death. NASA says the universe was created sometime between 10 billion and 20 billion years ago from a cosmic explosion that hurled matter in all directions. Disorder. Is that all right? UC Berkeley says the Big Bang Theory states that at some time in the distant past there was nothing. Praise God, amen. It's a process known as a vacuum fluctuation. It's created what astrophysicists call a singularity. And from that singularity, which is about the size of a dime. Wrong. Our universe was, that's interesting, University of Michigan. About 15 billion years ago, a tremendous explosion started the expansion of the universe. Now, not expansion as in filling a balloon up and it begins to expand, but dimensional expansion. This explosion is known as the Big Bang. At the point of this event, all the matter and energy of space was contained at one point, and what existed prior to this event is completely unknown. It is a matter of pure speculation. Well, Michigan, we agree with that. But before this point, it was speculation, and after this point, you got pure speculation. The occurrence was not a conventional explosion, but rather it was an event filling all space with all the particles of the embryonic universe rushing away from each other. PBS. There was an initial explosion of a primordial atom which had contained all the matter in the universe. I say it's an explosion. University says it's an explosion. Berkeley says it was an explosion. NASA said cosmic explosion. King James Bible. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. Amen, somebody. King James Version Bible. Through faith, we understand that the worlds, not worlds, worlds were framed by the Word of God. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. In other words, from the invisible, not singularity of cells, not singularity of atoms, but by the spoken word, from the invisible, the tangible was made. We understand the worlds. Worlds. Worlds was framed. The word framed. Make perfect. Prepared. Look at the last one. Restore. Oh God. Perfectly joined. Sounds like a wedding, don't it? Made perfect. Prepared. Restore. Perfectly joined together. To render complete. To equip. I love this one. Put in or to arrange in order. The worlds was arranged in order by God's spoken word, that those which things which are invisible, visible, are made by the invisible. This scripture was wrote 2,000 years before man knew anything about atoms, before man knew anything about molecules, before subatomic particles has ever even thought about. The scripture said the world was framed by the word of God. This is pre-Hubble telescope. This is pre-Mars rover. This is pre-Albert Einstein. This is pre-Newton. But it ain't pre-God. Hallelujah! He can't go before God because he fills all space and time. He's the creator by his word of all things. 2,000 years before a telescope could look into the universe, the Bible said this. Thousands of years before astrophysicists would be able to look at this unseen matter by the natural eye, the Bible tells us how the world got created. Now notice, there's an order. This ain't mass confusion. This ain't some mass confusion where things is out of order and it's upside down. Oh no, this isn't disorder. This is an explosion. God's bringing something. Oh, think about it. It ain't breaking something. It's creating something. Methodically placing, bringing them to their ordained position. King James Bible. Now, Psalms 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Psalms 102:25, thou laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. Isaiah says, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? What a hand. And he made it out of heaven with a span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure. And he weighed the mountains in the scales and the hills in a balance. In other words, who done it? The answer is obviously God did. Psalms 33:6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. Amen. And all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. Amen. To be able to speak, you must have breath. Amen. When I was going through medical training, we was dealing with children. Never did like to deal with children. But they told us you don't have to worry about children. If they're crying, screaming, they're going to be breathing. And I say that God was exhaling the divinity of his breath. And by exhaling, God was creating behind that breath. He gathereth the waters, Psalms 33, he gathered the waters to sea together as a heap, and he layeth up the depth in the storehouses. Let all the earth fear of the Lord. Let the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Genesis says, in the beginning, God created the heavens, plural, and the earth. Paul said in Colossians 1:16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or dimensions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. He's before all things, Paul said. And by him, all things consist, which means are held together or banded together. Everything is consumed together, banded together, because God's word holds it together. But when his word, come on somebody, when his word, his bride, is pulled from this earth, disorder sets in, chaos takes place, because he removes his words. Isaiah said like this in Isaiah 42:5, thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, expanded. This prophet picked up something that wasn't going to be talked about by the greatest minds for some 6,000 years later. But Isaiah picks it up by looking at the Creator, the one who made it. And he tells us that he stretched them out. Think about it. He expanded the universe, an expanding dimension of what God created. And Isaiah seen it. And he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it. And the church said amen. And spirit to them that walk therein. Amen. And here Job starts having a conversation with God. And he's reminding Job kind of this little bit of a rebuke of self-righteousness as we are sometimes. And now God's fixing to let Job know who's in control of all things and how all things taking place. And sometimes Job needed to hear this. Right, Job? And God says, can thou bind the sweet influence of Pleiades or loose the bands of Orion? Can thou bring us forth Maserati in his season? Or canst thou guide Arcturus with his sons? Knowest thou the ordinances, which means order? Do you know the order of heaven? Not disruption, not disorder, not chaos. Do you know the order of the heaven? Can thou set dominion thereof in the earth? In other words, as God would have dominion by placing every star and every planet exactly where they need to be, he's telling Job that you're here upon this earth. And as I had dominion over Pleiades and Orion and all these things, you are created to have dominion upon this earth. Job, you're not made to sit here and just be a pushover. You're made to rule. You're made to have dominion. Can thou set the dominion thereof in the earth? Who give it? God did. David says it like this. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers. I just love that right there. I'm going to read it again. When I consider thy heavens. Glory. Thy heavens. And the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordered, ordained. In other words, look at your heavens. Look at thy heavens thou hast created. The work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, you put every one of them right in particular order. Oh my, David could look at the heavens and say, Lord, it's thy heavens. You created those things with your hand. You create them with the breath of thy lips. You are our creator. The Bible plainly declares it is order. Amen. It's order. So God puts the universe in order. Not as some people think, or even science, that it just evolved one day and a couple of things got to rubbing together, a couple of particles, and it explodes and it began to rush out through the universe and things begin to evolve. That takes a lot of faith, just to be honest with you. That takes more faith than probably what I possess even tonight, to think that things got to rubbing together and all this system of just not just the order of the universe, stars and planets and universes and black holes and all these things get put in their place and everything exactly. But not only that, but it just so happened that these planets get put in a certain order where they move and rotate on a certain order. Not just that, but on a particular planet at a particular place at a particular distance from the sun, the right distance from the moon, the right distance from the sun. Happens to be some seeds fall there. Amen. And it just happened to have some people that evolved from a bunch of monkeys and apes and kangaroos and... You kidding me? Over neutrons, protons. Amen. I say we're listening to a great astrophysicist in this message. Think about it. The universe is set up so perfectly in order. I don't want to bore you with that. I'll hurry, I promise. When was the last time that Pluto ran into Mars? When was the last time that Jupiter fell into the sun and burned up? If it just happened to expand out through the universe, you got buildings and you got stars colliding into each other, you got moons colliding into each other, you got universes blending each other, and you got just a mess. But yet you and I can sit here by telescope and look into the heavens and we can see that each one, oh my, that are placed there is a perfect reflection from the stars that it is right here in this Bible. As it would start from the Virgin and end up over in Leo. How did the Virgin get up there in those stars anyway? How did the line of the tribe of Judah end up in the stars? I'll tell you how. God put him there. He was writing his Bible. What's the odds? What's the odds of everything ending up the way it is now? What's the odds of this being the only planet that has human life on it? The movement of the planets, they say, are so precise that scientists can calculate exactly where a planet will be hundreds of years in advance. Glory to God. So by looking at positioning of planets, scientists can tell years before the manifestation by prophecy of order what's going to come one day. Amen, somebody. But you got to have the right eyes, mind, to be able to understand how that God would move it into seasons. Remember, God's writing his first Bible, and within the universe, the order of the planets, the movements would foretell what would happen hundreds of years before we ever got there. They can tell us when planets will line up, and they can tell us how long it'll be before they line up again. How? Not by disorder, by systematic harmonious order. They can foretell when comets will pass by. And people just go crazy when they do. They put antennas on their heads. They go nuts because they think there's something to it. There is. God knew that comet would pass by. He knew. Oh my. You remember Halley's Comet? How many people went crazy when Halley's Comet come by? And they tell you how long you're going to be able to see it, how long it's going to be in our atmosphere, we'll be able to tell it. And for so many days and weeks, we could be able to look up and we could see it trailing across the sky. Brother, don't you understand? Isaiah can look up into the heavens and he can hear the voice of our Creator and say a virgin shall conceive hundreds of years before it ever got there. He could prophesy by God's spoken word what was coming to pass. What's the chances? The Naval Observatory, the United States timekeeper, he makes continual observation of the stars. I like this guy's job. And he adjusts its Oh, glory. Let them just go ahead and say amen to the word. They adjust its master clock. They're just amen, Brother Branham. It adjusts its master clock accordingly. Again, there are more stars in the universe than there are grains of sand on all the beaches in the world. And my God knows all their names. But he can't remember yours. That's what Satan tries to make you think. God loves everybody else in this church, but he don't love you. God cares about everybody else around, but he don't care about you. Again, the earth rotates on its axis at a tilt of 23 degrees, which allows for greater surface of the earth. Allows for the earth to be tilted and makes possible the seasons. Glory. Again, the earth rotates at 1,000 miles per hour. If it rotated only 100 miles per hour, the days and the nights would be 10 times longer. The summer sun would burn all vegetation, and the winter's night would be so incredibly cold. Again, the earth is the right distance from the right size sun, glory, for life to exist on the earth. If the earth was farther away from the sun, the climate would be too cold. If it were closer, it would be too hot. If the sun were smaller or larger, we would either freeze or roast. I say it's perfect. Did you know that the moon, that on the moon, and one lunar day, which is 15 earth days, the temperature varies from a high of 214 degrees above zero to 243 degrees below zero. I'll just take my chances here. The earth is the right distance from the right size moon for life as we know it. Harmony. Order. The ratio of the size of the moon to the earth is 10 times greater than any other planet satellite in the solar system. If the moon were 100 times smaller in average moon size, its brightness would be reduced by 20 times and its influence on the earth would be greatly changed. Watch this about the moon. The moon is on average 240,000 miles from the earth. The gravitational pull from the moon causes the ocean tides. It cleanses our shorelines. The moon causes things to get clean. It cleans out the shipping channels. Preaches all by itself, man. If the moon were only 50,000 miles from the earth, the gravitational pull from the moon would be so great, the ocean tide would completely submerge the surface of the earth twice per day, and smaller or larger moon would greatly increase the decrease the tides. How is it when you go to the ocean and you go to bed that night and the waves are way up on the bank, but you get up that next morning and there's so much more beach than what there was when you went to bed? Who controls that? Who told it to do it? Canst thou bind the influence of play? Who has the order of it? Who tells it to come up so far and says, stop right there. It's far enough. Now go back. There's an intelligence behind all of it. It's not by chance everything is precisely in place. It's not by chance that the earth is precisely positioned in the universe. It's not by chance that God brought everything forth from the sun and how that everything is existing because of the sun in our universe. It's not by coincidence that we're the right distance from the moon and the moon being the right size so the gravitational pull could control the boundaries of the water. Had the devil had his way, he would override God's order and he'd kill every person on this earth if he had the chance. But he ain't in control of this universe. He's not in control of stars. He's not in control of the moon. He's not controlling me. He ain't in control of you. He don't control this church. Our God is who is in control. He's the one that has every one of us in the palm of his hand. He's the one. Remember, the footsteps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. It's not by chance. According to, by their own words, they call it explosion, mass confusion. I say there's a creator behind it. And things don't happen by coincidence. Come on, somebody. Think about it. Genesis 1:1. Genesis 1:2. God's going to move from universal order to an earthly order. The earth absolutely has an order, and science has been able to break into it. That's why they call it evolution. But remember, it's not evolution, it's evolutionary manner. Amen. God started at the lowest life form and he moved to the highest life form. It happened to be particles rubbing together. Why in the world didn't the elephant get here before you did? Tell me, why in the world didn't you get here before the herbs and the plants and the trees got here? Who told things to get here when they did? Just evolved, Brother David. Mm-hmm, it sure did. It evolved off the Word of God. And it evolved right here on this earth, and it evolved right into its place and its position. There is an earthly order. Now watch. The earth been perfectly positioned in its universal order. He stopped the earth. As Brother Evans said, it flew off like a clinker and it fell for thousands and millions of years. And then God stopped it. Think of that. He didn't just stop it anywhere. He stopped it where it could obtain life. Now everything on the earth, because once the earth got in its order, everything in the earth has to fall under the order of the one who placed it. Now watch the way this happens. Verse 2 says, in Genesis 1:2, and the earth was without form and void, darkness upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So it's void. Think about it. It's formless. It's void. Yes, it's circular, but yet no certain form to it. The original text, by the words formless, means to mean, to convey to you and I that the earth was created, and on the face of the earth, after it's orderly placed where it belongs, it leads us to understand that even though it's been placed in its right position by the Creator, because God did that, there's confusion on top of it. So by the earth's original birth, it was in a state of disorder. Say it again. The first birth, it was disorder. It was formed, oh my, formless, and oh how is it? It was darkness and water, and it looked like it was completely chaotic. But that's just the face. That's just the surface. That's just the face. It looks like disorder, Brother Terry. It looks like it's just chaos. But I want to tell you, it only looked that way on the face of it. But inside of it was a meticulous system that was methodically placed. There were seeds already laying there. It just looked that way. But I want to say this, God ain't done yet. I'd get a hold of that one right there. It may look that way, but God ain't done yet. It may seem that way, but God ain't done yet. He's still working on me. If I hang around you a little while, I'll find out God's still working on you too. Well, amen. Ouch, old me or something. Amen. Think about it. Just because it starts that way, God is shaping it. Now watch. The earth gets saved. It gets baptized. It gets sanctified. It's even going to have a Pentecostal fire baptism of the Holy Ghost experience on it. Now watch. He's showing us by creation, it's reflecting redemption of who was going to live on this. The earth being the only planet that's named in the book. Amen. Think about it. There's a lot of planets that's created and placed. They got a purpose while they're there. Can I say what I'm looking at? Pharaoh had a purpose. Judas had a purpose. Amen. Hitler had a purpose. But you and I, as the bride of Christ, we are here elected, predestined, with a purpose of Almighty God to believe what we're believing today. So God has to Bring the cosmos to cosmio, which means to put in order, make ready, prepare, to adorn. Now think about it. Formless, water on the face of the deep, chaos, darkness, but God's going to bring it, oh God, from chaos to cosmio. Can I preach just about 5 more minutes? I said he's taking you from darkness. He took you from chaos. He took you from emptiness. He took you from formless and shapeless. But he began to perform a cosmio on you. He began to adorn you and prepare you. Why? You're fixing to get married. Why is God going to perform cosmio? It's because this earth is not just another planet. This earth is an attribute. I'm preaching future home now. Hang on. It's an attribute that comes from God's thinking, one of his thoughts. I see redemption. I see redemption. It was a thought. The earth was an attribute. Never mention Pluto being a thought. Care what they say, it's still a planet. Anyway, so earth is a planet, it's a system. But I want to say this, it's the third planet from the sun. Now the first pool planet didn't do it. And the second one was only bait on the hook. But the third one's going to get this thing ready. I said the third one's coming into order. The third one's coming to manifestation. The third one's going to be adorned, prepared. So God shows, hang on to your seats, favor. Handling that, all right? God shows partiality. That and okay too? Well, God's not a respecter of persons. I'm talking about earth. Think about it. Isaiah said it like this, Isaiah 45:18. Love this one. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. What did he form and make? Earth. He established it. He created it not in vain. Amen. He formed it to be. Amen, somebody. The earth was without form and void, darkness upon the face of the deep. But Isaiah said he didn't just make it because his word cannot go out void. And this earth is a spoken word seed of Almighty God. And his word cannot return back to him void until it accomplishes that which he sets it out to do. He established it to be a place for human habitation. He formed it to be inhabited. It's not created. It's not created just to be looked at. But the earth is the story of redemption. Everything God creates, think about this. Everything God put upon this earth, he made it for one reason. He made it to be inhabited. He created the sea. And he filled the sea full of fish. Inhabited. He created the sky. And he filled it full of birds. Inhabited. Amen, somebody. He created the planet. He put all the trees and the botany life on it. He put the animals' life on it. He wanted it to be inhabited. He created the body of a man and he put his spirit inside of it. He wanted to inhabit. He created a future home. Why did he create it? He wants it to be inhabited. He creates to be inhabited. And Moses describes in Genesis 1:2, water covers the whole thing. It doesn't look like much, completely chaotic. But beneath that water, Brother Ram said, there's something that's laying there. Things are to be. God at the beginning said, let there be, let there be, let there be. Hallelujah. He said it. The world was just dark and chaos. And even when he said, let there be light, might have been hundreds of years before light ever even sprung in. Hallelujah. But remember what Brother Ram said. When God said, let there be, visibly you may not have seen nothing. But beyond the visible, Brother Ram said, an atom broke. Hallelujah. When Adam broke, things come into materialization. Hallelujah. When Adam broke, and listen, things come into this place. Disorder. Watch. But when a last Adam was broken, it restores man back from the original Adam being broken. And when the first one caused disorder, the last one restores the order that was broken. Hallelujah! Because of the last Adam being split. Oh, Jesus, help me. The earth's got to be inhabited. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Brother Ram said, it may have been 100 years before every light sprang in, but when he spoke it, it has to come to pass. It must be that way. And he spoke his word, and them seeds was beneath that water. And when he dried it off the earth, then the seeds come up. What he says must come to pass. It's going to be inhabited. God's got to bring order to it. He's got to cause me. Got to get it ready. Got to prepare it. Got to get it proper. Got to get it placed. Got to get it fit. Amen. And so in order to do that, anytime you begin to plant seeds, you just don't go out there on the hard ground and throw them anywhere you want to. It's got to be cultivated. My mama, when I was growing up, always had a garden. And she would have me take, and she said, now I want you to take these seeds, I want you to put them down in that row that we've got tilled up. And I'd take that seed and walk down through there, being so young, I thought, oh Lord, hope I don't take this seed and plant it upside down. Which is the right way up? I hope I don't plant these things upside down and everything goes the wrong way. We'll never be able to eat anything off of it. How am I exactly am I supposed to do this? I mean, in what order do I put these in? Just put them in the right place. Put them in the right position. Put the dirt back over them. Let the sun, hallelujah, let the sun begin to shine on it. Let the water begin to water it. And let God take care of it. His word will not return void. It'll bring life out of that gene. Had God left this planet in Genesis 1-2, it would have never come into the right condition. If he did, it would have never had life. So God cannot leave the earth formless and void. He cannot leave it with chaos. He's got to transform it into a place that's habitable. Amen. Blair says like this, rising of the sun. Now hurry. There was a time when the world was laying in utter darkness. It was that form and void. It's all covered with water. It was laying there in the dark, dismal, gloomy atmosphere. And the Spirit of God moved upon that water and said, let there be light. God had a reason to do that. For down beneath that water, there was seeds that he had planted. Whew. The great gardener himself. Oh God. He went down the right row. He didn't plant you in the first age under Paul. He didn't plant you under Irenaeus or Martin or Columba or Luther or Wesley or Pentecost. He come on right on down here to where the bride was going to come to manifestation. And he got to setting you right down through that line. He know what church that you would go to. He know what day you'd be saved. He know what day you'd get the Holy Ghost. He knew when life would come to you. He knew when you would come to a manifestation of seeing life in you. Because the earth in Genesis 1-2, it's not proper order to bring forth life. He's got to restore order to the earth to bring it to a place of manifestation. I don't know about you, but that's powerful. Amen. Oh, how is God going to do it, Brother David? He's going to take something that's so dark, something so chaotic, because he has the power of transformation. You know what Brother Bram titled that sermon? God's power to transform. It ain't my power. It ain't your power. It ain't the preacher's power. Come on, somebody. It ain't the deacon's power. It ain't the song leader's power. It's God's power to transform. Parents, you can't transform them. I can't transform. It's God's power to do so. What do? Put them under the right atmosphere. Put them in the right place and let the water of the Word begin to flow over their soul and let it come to fruition. God's going to make a way. I'm preaching right now to you. He's going to make a way. Every seed, every progeny, every offspring, God is going to make a way. I don't care how much chaos is around it. I don't care how much division and darkness and gloominess of the atmosphere is. God will bring it into order, restoring order. Restoring order. Really, how in the world am I going to do this? I'm going to tell you how you're going to do it again. Keep it under that atmosphere. Keep it under an atmosphere of prayer. Keep it on the atmosphere of confession. I'm talking about the cup being half full. Quit looking at the negative around it. Quit looking at the signs. Quit looking at the symptoms. Isn't it amazing how many things that applies to? Same thing with sickness. Quit looking at the symptoms. Quit looking at the signs. Take God's promised word and what God has said and let God bring it to pass. Let God do what God does. It ain't up to me, it ain't up to you, it's up to our God to do it. And God's word ain't never failed. God's word ain't never come short, nor will it ever come short. Restoring order. Let's stand to our feet as musicians. God in his mind, in his thinking, he had attributes. One of those attributes was this planet called Earth. God had it in his mind exactly what this planet was going to be. I believe this with all of my heart. He foreseen everything that would ever be. He knew it. It already existed in thought form, attribute form in his mind. Oh, yes, it is real. I said, oh, yes, it is real. You might, well, you couldn't see nothing. I'm talking about God now. It's there in attribute form. It's just not there in manifestation form. Amen. Every tree that would ever be on the planet, it was there in God's thoughts. Every flower, every seed was there in God's thoughts. If God saw every flower, God seen exactly how many roses and the different kinds of roses. The different animals on the face of the earth. Just in New Zealand, and we was talking about eagles. They was telling me about how their eagles are so much smaller than ours, and I was actually able to be able to see one of them. And I was down in South Africa, and talking to a brother, and he got to making fun of me. And I said, well, how many eagles do y'all got? He said, we got 28 eagles. Y'all got two. I said, we may just have two, but we got the golden eagle. Hallelujah. South Africa don't have a golden eagle. Oh yeah, they got all kinds and they got all different shapes and beaks, and it's incredible how that God made each one of them for a specific design and order. It's incredible. It's incredible. Some of the boneyard, they call them there at Brother Jones's place where they took me to. I watched as they took these carcasses of these animals out there. Certain time of day, the vultures got to circling around up in the skies. They were circling everywhere. And I thought, what are they doing? He said, they're waiting. On what? He said, they're waiting on supper. So we loaded up some carcasses from some zebras and different animals. We took them out there and we kicked them out of the back of that truck. And brother, they began to fall out of the heavens. And they fell down on top of that dead carcasses and they began to eat. And man, I mean, I thought, you talking about a jubilee they're having. I got pictures of it. It's just a ball of birds. You can't even make out one from the other. And I mean, it's free for all. It's chaos. And I got to looking up into the sky. And I saw some other birds up there. And I said, why ain't they falling on this carcass like these vultures are? He said, see, what you don't understand is the shape of these vultures can only get so much of the meat out of the carcass. But the shape of their beaks are the ones that are still flying. They can come down and their beak is designed in a certain way that they can dig down between them bones. And it's like an all-you-can-eat buffet. They get all the food they want. They're not trying to rush in and rush in and rush in. They're just waiting patiently. And when everybody else gets out of the way, here comes these other birds down. And they have themselves a feast. Oh, brother. We let all these vultures get out of the way trying to explain this right here. And they put all their ideals to it and their imaginations to it. And they got God put eating cows, eating apples out of the top of a tree and all kinds of man's ideas. But they were some eagles that was just waiting. Until one day the Son of Man began to bring some fresh meat by. We didn't want some carcass of yesterday, some carcass from Luther or Wesley or Pentecost. We wanted the fresh kill of the Word. And brother, when he put that meat, because you was designed in a certain way, hallelujah, hallelujah, because you was designed properly when you got here, you knew how to dig the golden nuggets right out of the carcass of the Word of God. Hallelujah. Oh, don't you love him? Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Let's sing "My God is Awesome" before we turn to Brother Louie. Could we sing that? Would you help me? My God is awesome. Yes, He's awesome. He's awesome. He's awesome. My God is awesome. Oh, yes, He's awesome. My God is awesome. Lord, You're awesome. Yes, awesome. My God is awesome. And He can move the mountains. Keep me in the valley and hide me from the rain. My God is awesome. Yes, He's awesome. I said He's awesome. Hallelujah. Yes, He's awesome. My God is awesome.
Enjoy the word of the Lord. I just tell you, I can't wait to hear part two. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, what a master plan God put together. And you know what? You're caught right smack dab in the middle of it. Don't that make you happy to know you're part of His plan? Why don't you shake somebody's hand, tell them, I've enjoyed church tonight. I hope you have. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Praise the Lord.